If the government delivers on its referendum timeline, next year you'll be casting your vote on whether an Indigenous voice to Parliament should be enshrined in our national constitution. While there's plenty of detail around about how the voice could work, the government is yet to confirm exactly what it would look like and how it would operate.
We are being very deliberate and being very careful and listening to all the voices. The Kalmar-Langton report is absolutely fundamental to what will be the final design of the voice. It's not the only report.
The Minister for Indigenous Australians, Linda Burney, speaking to insiders yesterday. Marcia Langton and Tom Kalmar are members of the referendum working group, and they wrote the final report on the voice that was handed to the previous government, and they join you now together. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Patricia.
Yeah, good morning, Patricia and listeners.
Now, Tom, I'm going to begin with you. Linda Burney says the report you prepared for Ken White under the Morrison government will be fundamental. How close will the final model be to what you recommended, and what would that look like?
Well, it's hard to tell because we've got the working group who will consider it, and then Parliament will make the final decision once the referendum passes by way of structure. But what we do know is that the working group has already said that they agree with the general tenet of what we proposed, including the principles. And we talked about nine principles, and they're the guiding principles of what the new voice will look like, the body. And so it's a bit of a wait and see, but we suspect that early into the new year we'll be able to have a bit more detail come out.
Marcia Langton, your report made specific structural recommendations around the number of members, regional representation, agenda split, term limits. Do you still believe that model is the best way to structure this body?
Patricia, I can't imagine that there is a better model out there. I can foresee some tweaks, but we put in over 2 years of work. We consulted thousands of people. There were two reports, of course. There was our interim report, and we took that to the people. Of course, it went to Cabinet as well. And it, to our surprise, it emerged from Cabinet with no changes whatsoever. And we were instructed to consult Australians on our interim report. And following consulting thousands of people, we prepared the final report. I'm very confident that the voice will look, in the end, if Australians vote for the voice in the referendum and it's translated into legislation following a referendum, I'm very confident the voice will look much like our proposal, our detailed proposal in our final report.
And it's worth saying that the final report also went to Cabinet and had been discussed for almost 6 months amongst the coalition members before it was finally released, again unchanged, and released to the public in December last year. So the public have had it for over 12 months, including the government of the day today.
Marcia, Ken Wyatt told me last week that he took the proposal to Cabinet twice. He implored his former colleagues to consider it and said it was laziness that was behind the claims that there's no detail out there. The Nationals have come out saying they'll campaign for no. Do you know? Have you contacted? Are you speaking to the Liberals about whether they did read the report and whether they think this is the model that should go forward?
Not as yet, but I will. And you know, Tom and I met with a lot of people from all the political parties. We cruised the corridors of Parliament House over and over again and tried to speak to as many people as possible. And we did speak to Nationals and to Liberal Party members. We spoke to the Liberal Party party room. We spoke to the members of the Greens Party. And at that time there were no Teals, but I have written to Teal members of Parliament and asked for an appointment to discuss it with them because, you know, they were not present in the last Parliament. Tom wasn't there. I spoke to Pauline Hanson and members of her party. I took the report to them personally. So we will speak to members of Parliament in this Parliament. And I'm really quite disappointed that people don't believe that we haven't spoken to them when we in fact did, and that they believe that there's no detail when we've personally handed the report to them and discussed it with them.
Tom, Indigenous Affairs Minister Linda Burney yesterday told insiders Australians would be well informed about what they would be voting for at the ballot box. Now, how well informed? Just tell me. Obviously, this referendum group that you're both in is now considering making some shifts and changes to your model. Will there be a draft of legislation that will be considered? How do you imagine it?
Well, I suspect not. That there will be legislation that'll be, proposed or at least draft bill or whatever. But it's more what we're working on is looking at what the question will be that goes into the referendum. And, you know, we've been sort of guided by what the Prime Minister said at Garma, and it was pretty basic, what he outlined up there. And that's really what a referendum question might be. It's got to be fairly specific. But we must remember that the government of the day will propose a bill post the referendum, which will then go through both houses of Parliament and be debated on what the structure will be and the composition, etc. But what they've said is that they'll be guided by us. And what we also know is that in the 51 people membership that we had in the co-design process, that comprised a majority of key Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander players around the nation who are working on local voices at the moment. They're working on other processes at a state level. So it was very well informed, and I think that was important. And that information at a local level, state and territory government level, is has been shared a lot with the communities, those communities. So this is a bit bewildering, really, that people say they don't have information when it's been available. And as Minister White said the other, or former Minister White, Ken White said, that, you don't have to read the whole report, the first 20-odd pages, and that'll give you a good gist of what's being proposed. We should also remember that both the Prime Minister's met with First Ministers of every jurisdiction, and Minister Burney's met with her Aboriginal Affairs counterparts and discussed what is going forward. So we're already seeing fairly significant buy-in by all states and territories already. So it seems that at the federal level, they seem to be standing alone in the both the Nationals' position and some of the other minor party members, but they've been good, hearty discussions, and so more will come out for the community, I suspect, into the new year, because we're still just consolidating our position at the referendum working group level, and once that's done, we'll come out, and that'll be into the new year with a bit more detail. But it's nothing's worse than going out prematurely and then having to change. So, we're taking our time, because we know the referendum won't happen until the end of next year, at the very earliest, or early in 2024.
Marcia Langton, how worried are you about the prospect of a no campaign? Obviously the Nationals have put their name to it. Aboriginal woman Jacinta Price plans to be quite active there. Do you think this is this actually is really challenging for the yes vote?
I have mixed feelings about that. It's unfortunate that the Nationals have injected misinformation and vitriol into the debate so early on. We've been through this many times over, these kinds of campaigns. I mean, I'm seeing this now as a bit like, you know, the Adam Goods saga, which is terribly unfortunate. The tragedy is, of course, that, well, take, for instance, Jacinta says that she's Celtic Walpuri. Well, the Walpuri people see themselves as a people because they speak the Walpuri language and they have Walpuri traditions. They don't see themselves as a race. And the Walpuri people that I've spoken to, many of the leaders, believe that the Voice is a very necessary part of the Australian political system, and they would welcome it very much because they want their people to be represented. And you'd think that with all the terrible things that have happened in the Walpuri world, such as the, well, now the coronial inquiry into the death at the hands of the police in the Northern Territory of Kumanjai Walker, a young Walpuri man, and, you know, the findings of that coronial inquiry about the fate of the even more young Walpuri people, we have to take these matters seriously. This is too important to play nasty electoral politics about. If in the end these divisive politics about race, which, you know, I have to say as a member of the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Melbourne, does not exist. Where one species, there are no races. It would be terribly unfortunate for all Australians if the debate sinks into a nasty eugenicist 19th century style of debate about the superior race versus the inferior race. And I have to say I'm terribly disappointed that a Walpuri person or a Celtic Walpuri person has kicked this off.
I want to put something to you, Tom, that is one of the criticisms we've heard from the Nationals leader and the Nationals leadership. They say they don't want this voice to be, this voice will end up being a voice for Redfern. Let's just go to your model. It talks about a local and regional level. A lot of your report is dedicated to regional voices as well. How would that work? And what's your response to the Nationals' critique that it would essentially be, you know, an inner-city Aboriginal voice?
Well, I think what we've got to do is to really separate the two things. One is the referendum that's being proposed, and the second is what the voice will be into the future. The referendum is just about the Australian Constitution, and it's about Commonwealth legislation, and it's an enabler to allow the latter, the structures to form into the future. Now, the government, assuming the referendum will get up, will put in through legislation that will allow a national voice to be established. But the national voice will be informed by the local and regional voices. And that's the 35 regional voices that exist around, or that will be created around the nation. And both state and territory governments, some have already got their localised voice, but they're still willing to engage in the discussion about how that local voice, whether it remains as it exists or whether a separate arrangement will be put in place to be able to inform the national. But what we see, and, you know, Marcy and I have travelled with other colleagues around the nation, and what we hear, we heard stories and stories after how much doesn't happen in Aboriginal communities and Torres Strait Islander communities because of the the numerous government departments that go out at the three levels of government, Commonwealth, state and territory and local government, to address issues, and they never get done because each of them are in their little silos and wanting to do their own little bit, and so they can't coordinate. The voice will be an opportunity for the local and regional people to determine what the priorities will be for that community, and then the three tiers of government will work together to resolve those. And they will inform the national level. But any legislation that comes through or any bill that comes through at the national level to deal with Commonwealth agencies will be passed by the voice, the national voice. And you know, the voice will give a view on whether that legislation or the bill, I should say, before it becomes legislation, whether it's sound or what the impacts will be. So that'll help politicians to be informed and make informed decisions, because to date we've been passive recipients of government policies, and you know, we know that they're not working. We see that through the close the gap, and the ones that do work are where the Indigenous community are engaged and in the process. But you know, people have said, oh look, it's you know, it's going to be unique. Well, it's not unique. We already have bodies who advise the federal government, the Commonwealth government, who provide advice on legislation and other matters, like the Attorney General, the National Audit Office, the Law Reform Commission, the Human Rights Commission, the Commonwealth Ombudsman. All of these are advisory bodies to the federal parliament, and they either provide reports to the parliament or they make comments, you know, on bills and so forth. So, and then, of course, you've got the standing committees of parliament, the Bill Scrutiny Committee, as well as the Human Rights Committee. They exist in Parliament, so this is no different. This is just another body that'll put it through the lens of an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander community lens and say this will work or it won't work. I think over time, and we're already seeing this, is that government departments are much more receptive to wanting to engage Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people in some policy development. And we saw just recently, you know, Minister Wong, Senator Wong, who went out and looked for, you know, an ambassador or Indigenous affairs. It went out to an expression of interest to all Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people to apply. The first time this has happened in the history of Australia for an ambassador position. So, you know, this is, I think, starting to really be positive. But all we're suggesting is that this is going to be the referendum is about saying, let's change the constitution so this can be a standard practice rather than an ad hoc practice, and that it's an advisory body to assist the government of the day and the parliament of the day to make informed decisions.
Look, it's been a pleasure to talk to you both. We're out of time, but I'd love to have you back to answer some of the questions that are being posed by some of our listeners as well about the voice and the sort of way the future will work. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Patricia.
Marcia Langton and Tom Kalmer joining us there. And, of course, they are they both authored this report into what a voice would look like, and the Parliament would determine that, of course, if there is a yes vote to a referendum. A lot of steps to happen, of course.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.
Hey, podcasters, just wanted to mention, if you're looking for more stories about the law and justice without a whole lot of legal jargon, check out the Law Report on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.